You're listening to a podcast from 702 and Cape Talk.
And as promised, we're having a conversation this hour with the COO of the SABC, the Chief Operating Officer, Chris Maroleng. And that's because, I mean, I can't repeat this as often as I do without, I think, underscoring this enough, that the SABC obviously matters to this country and it goes to the heart of our democracy. It is, for millions of people, the only and the primary source of news and information, not just entertainment. And that means that it needs to be healthy, even more so than commercial media. And the deliberative democracy that we have and the participatory democracy depends in crucial respects. And the court judges have also underscored this in some of the cases involving the SABC in recent years. And that's why the SABC matters. This is not some in-house conversation between media colleagues. It's fundamentally about the country. And I hope you will recognize the importance and not flip the channels, but engage in this conversation and give us a call throughout if you want to speak to Chris as well. Chris, it's been a long time since I've seen you. Congratulations on your position. I haven't seen you in person since this position. And welcome to the studios.
Thanks, Eusebius. It's always good to see you.
How are you feeling?
A bit tired. As you have said, you know, it's a pretty responsible position that I've taken up. It takes a lot of effort to get things moving. And I think one sometimes does feel the burden of, you know, this crucial responsibility of being part of the team that is repositioning the SABC to fulfill this crucial role that you talk about as a public broadcaster. So it is daunting but exciting at the same time. I wake up in the morning and it still doesn't feel like work. So that's a good thing.
That's good. I want to start by just asking you to give us a sense of your understanding, and hopefully dovetails with what your KPI say, of what the COO is meant to do. There are lots of specific issues that we're going to talk about. We've got enough time. One of the legacy problems in recent years for the SABC is their jobs often have been blurred between the board and the executives, and then between the executives and editorial. And even as a media professional, quote unquote, it's very hard for me to give someone a pithy, unambiguous description of what the COO does.
Sure. So to put it in sort of simple speak, the COO effectively is the guy who's looking into the engine of the vehicle to ensure that it is running efficiently. He's ensuring that ultimately all of the impediments that would make this engine not function correctly are put right. Then the CEO is the driver. He sits in the seat and steers the wheel to ensure that the direction of the business, in our case, the SABC, that it is going in a direction aligned to the strategy, a roadmap which is established by the board. And the board ultimately are the custodians of strategy. So my job is very functional, day to day, running off the operation of the SABC. What we have are core broadcast functions that report directly into the COO, which would be TV. We have five TV platforms and 19 radio platforms. We also, reporting into the CEO, is ensuring that the commercial enterprises of the SABC are looked after, because we have a very interesting business model, which says that we both have a public broadcast responsibility and a public commercial mandate, which we need to execute on. So we must be financially viable. The decisions that we make must, of course, service the public in terms of the broadcast mandate, which is to inform, to educate, and to entertain. But ultimately, they must be done in a commercially viable way. So the COO is responsible for all of these things to ensure that that engine, the engine room, is functioning at optimum.
So who's the boss, the non-existing permanent CEO or you?
There's a team. And the team must understand that they have core responsibilities and functions. So if you talk to the guys who report into me, they would say, Chris is the boss. He is responsible to ensuring the effectiveness of the running of that engine. When I look at the CEO, I'll say, that is my boss, because ultimately the strategic direction which is required from the SABC comes from that office. That is the line that manages the relationship between the board and our shareholder, which is the government, and through government, the people of South Africa.
I'm very keen to talk about what your vision is for the public broadcaster. But I don't know when to get to that question, because I can let you give us a sense of your vision, which you're welcome to do. But at the same time, I think about the legacy left behind because of Schlaudy and the gang.
Yeah.
And there are very precise issues we need to talk about.
Sure.
Everything from human resource management,
yeah.
the lack of permanent appointments of key positions like the CFO, the CEO,
yeah.
which also makes it very hard for you to get the kind of bailouts that you need from Treasury still.
Mm.
So they're very precise things. Have you even had an opportunity to be able to storyboard and share a vision with key staff, or are you dealing with the nuts and bolts of the legacy issues that I've just mentioned?
So my position is very interesting in that we are beginning to unpack what the business is through an analysis of what we describe as the operating model.
Hmm.
So the operating model effectively talks about our processes, our systems, our products, our services, and the value chain between customers and our suppliers. And whether after having assessed that, the operating model, we can then say we have an SABC that is fit for purpose in terms of executing on the crucial mandate which we are enjoined to fulfill through the Broadcasting Act and the SABC Charter. We are in the process of doing that. That analysis is being done. And as we develop and understand the operating model of the SABC, other things have emerged, which are the key imperatives that we must address. From those key imperatives, Eusebius, we've now been able to establish an operating plan, which we are now about to share with the business. And that plan is the vision on how we transform the organization for heightened operational results. Those heightened operational results speak not just to a vision of what the SABC should be, but functionally, specifically, what are the key things that we, through a process of triage, must engage in terms of transforming the SABC to becoming, let me speak a bit about that vision.
Mm. Please do, because at a conceptual and strategic level, I'm on the same page as you.
There you go.
So let's cascade down to practicalities.
Exactly. So the practicalities mean that we want a broadcaster that serves the interest of the public in South Africa, a public broadcaster. What does that mean in a practical sense? It means that we try and remove as much bias in terms of political affiliation, in terms of commercial affiliation, basically in terms of religious and other things that are very divisive in society, but ultimately represents a voice that represents what the people of this country would like their broadcaster to be.
Hmm.
So that's what we are trying to pursue as the SABC.
So to restore to a truly nonpartisan public broadcasting image, because I don't know whether you'd agree with me, but until this opportunity to change it, to become that again, if it ever was that, it really was nothing but a faction of the ANC.
Well, you could say it was a faction of various political parties. A dominant theme is that the SABC very much reflects the politics of our country. So the dominant political party being, and the governing party being the ANC, would have had a dominant say in how the articulation of what the SABC was then. What we're saying, Eusebius, now is that
in nefarious ways that were unacceptable, right?
In nefarious ways that were often unacceptable. But in other ways, what we are saying now is that we want to restore the SABC to becoming the representative of what the national interest is.
Hmm.
What is the public interest? And that should be our key operating principle.
Okay. And how do you feel about the space for you to be able to do so before we take our first commercial break? Because often when we are attracted to new positions and opportunities, they're quite exciting.
Yeah.
You and I were just talking about the new economic advisor to the president, who's a friend of mine going back to university. But once you have signed the dotted line, you come up against all sorts of institutional histories and legacies.
Yeah.
You find that some of the henchmen and women are still there. They become obstacles to you.
Yeah.
In the first couple of months, have you felt that you have more or less space than you anticipated?
Yeah. You know, I've been very fortunate in that I was brought into the business by a board that was also pursuing very similar interests around what a public broadcaster should be. So I enjoy the support of a board who have given me a very strong mandate to execute on a couple of key performance areas, which they've been very specific. One of them we've been discussing, which is to create a truly independent public broadcaster. Mm. The other one is to restore the efficiencies of the business through our operating model. The third aspect talks about transforming the culture and the people within the SABC. So I come with a strong mandate. What was also exciting, Eusebius, is when I arrived, I also thought I would face this huge resistance from people. But guess what happened? I got there and the organization itself was also now ready for change. So the resistance has been there, but it hasn't been a profoundly disabling element.
And that's the key bit, yeah. 17 minutes after 10, you're listening to the familiar voice of broadcaster, now COO of the SABC, Chris Marolang. You've got questions for him? Give us a call on 011-883-0702 in Joburg, Cape Tonians on 021-446-0567. Plenty of tweets and specific questions you have for him. I'm going to read some of that and put it to Chris as well. I like what I'm hearing. I like it conceptually and strategically. But on the other side of this spot break, we're going to talk about some of the specifics.
Eusebius MacIsaac on 702 and Cape Talk.
20 minutes after 10, you can use the hashtag Chris on Eusebius or just give us a call if you want to speak to him directly and put whatever questions it is that you would like. A couple of people are asking about appointments because obviously, although the SABC is a complicated business, our immediate and direct interaction with it as the public are through its personalities.
Sure.
And the on-air presenters and what have you and some of the production staff members. Who takes decisions about that?
Mm. Well, effectively, it depends on the platform. So as I indicated to you, we have a split in our business between radio and TV. So if there's an appointment on radio, there is a group executive for radio who ultimately, in conjunction with station management, would determine what was going on that platform. Similarly with TV, we have a group executive and then the managers of the three or four television platforms that we have.
But, I mean, obviously it's a situation where you need to bring in new talent because you want to, at the level of perception, look like you are offering a new set of products here and there where you need to do so to align with a new vision of this really public-oriented, public-spirited broadcaster. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, the human resource management and the ethics around how you manage the careers of people that are still there, that have been there, that matters. But it seems to me like the SABC, while you've been there, doesn't always get it right.
Mm. Yeah, I tend to agree.
Where's the mess? Let me give you a practical example. So one of your on-air staff at SAFM, I called them to get a reaction to see how they feel once news broke that someone else was taking over their show.
Yeah.
And do you know what their reaction was? They heard it from me for the first time. That's not lekker.
No, it's not. It's not. And I agree with you. We can do so much better in ensuring that the people and the culture of the way in which we manage our people is transformed. Yes, we often have to, as executive management and as management, have to make difficult decisions. Conceptually, that do not just talk about the performance of platforms, but the manner in which audiences prefer to consume media, generally speaking. And the broadcast media space also requires us in that line to reconfigure schedules as we see fit to fit into those strategic imperatives. Where I will concede, Eusebius, is that when we deal with people who have been very loyal to the SABC, there is a need for us as management to get better in the way in which we interface with our people within the business. I think as we try and break the culture of the past, which was very much characterized by oppression of the very same people and really undermining the crucial talent that carry the business, the key broadcast aspects of the business, we need to be mindful of the fact that when we make decisions, we need to bring people along as opposed to sometimes get carried away with our passion to transform the business.
But who was responsible and has there been any consequences for the mess of the changes at SAFM in terms of the lineup? And by the mess, I mean several things. I mean Sakina Kamwendo being taken off air at 8:30. If you wanted me to come to the SABC and I would face that kind of censorship, I'd say to you, Chris, I don't mind having another lekker drink or two on Long Street in Cape Town, which is where I saw you last, but I'm not coming to the SABC because if you can't handle Sakina, you're not going to handle Eusebius.
Yeah.
Secondly, the fact that even producers don't know whether they're coming or going because new producers are coming with new presenters into the building. There's a whole hot mess going on there. And the whole thing just, I mean, it reeks of bullying, but if you have bills to pay, you've got children to put through school, what can you do? You allow yourself to be reshuffled. That is not an organizational culture that is going to attract the people that have left the place 10, 20 years ago.
Yeah, fair enough. So there are two things, and you're conflating the two, Eusebius, which is most unfortunate because it seems like you are also being driven by a particular side of an understanding of what the issue is. So let me attempt to help you understand what is actually going on. So there was the issue of an on-air incident, and the on-air incident was as a result of poor planning within that platform by the production team, by the management of the platform, which is something that we are trying to put right. There was a failure even on the day to have guests who should have been lined up for the platform, which resulted in the exposure of the presenter that you referred to, Sakina Kamwendo, and her having to now carry a show, which was not the plan at the time. It resulted in her making disparaging comments by the SABC, which were deemed by the producer at the time not to be aligned with an attempt for us to present an image of the SABC, which the producer on the day felt was not aligned. The producer made a call.
Yeah, but the producer can't speak on our own behalf.
Yeah.
The executive producer, Krivani Pillay, felt hamstrung by people at the top.
Maybe she did, but he...
I can tell you that as fact.
Well, maybe she did. But the point that we are, that I said on two points, that you're fudging two issues. What happened on air and ultimately the decisions by the station management of the SABC to review its talent pool. I conceded earlier on that the review of that talent pool based on considerations, empirical considerations of what was going to work and how the look and feel of that platform should be was not necessarily communicated in a way as best as we could have.
Why not?
Because of a number of reasons, Eusebius. Those relate to prevailing cultures within the business, which we are fixing, but also a failure on our part to really bring into confidence some of the people who were affected. That concession has been made. What are we doing about it going forward? This is what we're doing. We're ensuring that any time when we do make such decisions, that we do consult more extensively. To say that there was no consultation is also not correct. There was consultation. Was it extensive enough? Not necessarily.
Let's not dither on this, right? There was no consultation. Which is why some of those people heard it from us who
asked
for reaction.
There was consultation.
Hold on 1 second. Firstly.
Eusebius. Give me some space.
Right?
I think you should also give me some space.
Giving you plenty of space.
Not to create a narrative about what transpired.
Okay,
without
I, as Eusebius,
wearing
my journalistic hat, picked up the phone to get a reaction from one of the people who lost their show on SFM. Yeah. They heard that news from me for the first time. I'm going to add another fact. Let's deal with facts and get out of narrative speak. This is not about literature. This is about empiricism. Second fact. When that person picked up the phone to ask their bosses who are in charge of AM Live, PM Live, and the midday show, what's going on? Why am I hearing this from someone on the other side of Johannesburg? You know what their response was? What are you talking about? So the entire division, for the public who doesn't know it, the way SAFM works is that some shows report to the news divisions, the others to the radio division. The people in news who are the bosses of some of the people that have lost their shows, they were also undermined. Now, come on, Chris, that's not business unusual.
Look, Eusebius, like I said to you, there was a process of consultation, which I am aware of, okay? Was the process of consultation as extensive as it could have been? We concede that it could have been much better.
Was there any consultation with the presenters before new people were hired?
Eusebius,
a factual question.
I have said to you there was consultation. I'm looking at you now. And I'm saying to you,
Chris, you're evasive. You're not going to get away with it.
Look, I'm not being evasive.
I'm going to ask you this question pointedly and again. Let's take one clear example.
Yeah.
Before Stephen Grootes was hired for SAFM, mm-hmm. was Sakina Kamwenda already told that she will lose her show?
So let me tell you what had happened by way of consultation. As far back as October, Eusebius, even before I joined, and this is these are the things that you don't know.
Sure.
As awesome as your journalism is, that the platform was engaged and was informed about the impending readjustment of what SAFM represented. This is on fact, and this is stated. When I arrived in February already at the time, because typically changes to radio happen in April at the beginning of the financial year, it was already made clear that these processes were going to happen. And indeed, I'm saying to you, Eusebius, that you need to understand, and I've said so, I've conceded, we could have been better in consulting people. Are we going to make the same mistakes going forward? Absolutely not. But you need to understand, at the end of the day, that very often, because of previous cultures around how we manage platforms, that mistakes were made in consultation, in that the consultation was not as extensive as
it
could have
been. I need to go to news headlines, but just one last one on this, and then we'll set it aside and we'll give the listeners a chance. You're still using the passive form. And as a cunning linguist, you're doing it deliberately. When you say the platform was engaged, which people were engaged, at least in terms of position within the SAFM structure, if you don't want to mention names? Because what you're doing is you want to say we could have done better, but there was some consultation. I mean, that's on the one hand. On the other hand, who precisely was engaged? Be specific.
So, Eusebius, let me tell you what I am willing to discuss. I'm willing to discuss the broad aspects around the consultation. I'm not going to talk about names. I'm not going to engage at that granular level as you'd like me to do. What I can say to you is that there was consultation. There was engagement. It may be passive. It's passive because we're talking about things that happened in the past.
Okay. We're going to leave it there for the moment. Aubrey, Vusi, Nare, I'm going to come to your questions. I also want to talk about other aspects of the business beyond the human resource management of on-air talent. And, of course, we're in conversation with Chris. It's 10:30.
Eusebius McKaiser on your number one news and talk station.
24 minutes before 11. This hour, we'll be in conversation with the COO of the SABC, Chris Maroleng. Chris, just put your headphones on for me. We're going to go to the lines. A couple of callers want to engage you. Aubrey, thank you for holding on and thank you for your patience. Go ahead. What is your question?
No, good morning and to the listeners. Firstly, I'm calling as the General Secretary of Communication Workers Union. I want to make emphasis that we did meet the management of SAPC, Chris and CEO included. All what he's saying is actually and factually not true. Workers were not consulted. To substantiate my argument is that we met with the management of SAPC. They had then committed to us that before the implementation and launching, they will be coming back to us. They then said to us that they conceding the fact that there was no extensive consultation. You're quite right. Many of workers did not know. There's a huge level of displacement of jobs as we speak, a shortening of hours because of just a mismanagement in terms of planning. But more so, we are more so worried because SAPC is deviating from its actual mandate as a public broadcaster.
What do you mean by that, Aubrey?
They are commercializing the programs that should be, in our view, dealing with current affairs on the public issues that, at the community level and so forth, which they want to make it comparatively to your commercial station. As we speak, most of the stations now are shutting their current affairs, which we don't think that it will deal directly with its mandate as SAPC. But having said that, there's a lot of tension amongst workers. I'm not certain about their future, because we can say this with authority. If the executive led by its CEO committed to trade union, which is key stakeholders, to have a meeting within 3 days. Now we are talking 2 weeks. I even wrote them a letter yesterday. They have not come back to us. Instead, they send us a letter that says basically nothing.
Yeah. Hold on for me, Aubrey. Just, I know you've got, obviously, I'm giving you more time than I would other listeners because you are from the Communication Workers Union, but it's not fair to only take you, so I'm going to leave the questions you've asked. Chris is taking notes. Chris, let's take a few callers, and then you can answer them as a batch. Vusi, good morning.
Hello.
Hi, Vusi. Go ahead. You have a comment or a question?
It's a question, but also a request for Chris. There's a big problem with SABC that has been there for a long time, especially at Metro FM, where there's a lot of articles that people are being asked to bribe to get their music played. And as much as there's been window dressing in terms of investigations that have been done, for you to be able to help South Africans, especially young South Africans, who are frustrated because apparently the amount ranges around 25,000 for one song to be played on air. Would you...
Because these examples that you are talking about, just hold on for me for 1 second. Are you talking from direct experience? What is the basis of this, in fact?
Well, look, I have a lot of people have come to me who are complaining, and some have confirmed that they've done it. One of the biggest challenges, which you will understand, you say that, is the fact that people are scared to come out, you know?
Okay, fair enough. Let's take a third and final question for this round. In Blegari, Nari, good morning. Thank you for holding on.
Thank you, Eusebius. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you.
Okay. Eusebius, I just want to ask Chris, you know, why some big popular companies got like 3 or 4 shows playing on SABC? It doesn't give like some aspiring filmmakers that opportunities. And also, I just want to ask about why SABC is not showing like, it's not showing most of the games of Pirates and Chiefs and Sundowns, you know, those two things.
Okay, good question. A lot of people asking about the sports question as well on Twitter. So thanks for slipping that one in there as well. Chris, over to you.
Yeah, let's start off with the
Aubrey.
Aubrey from the Communication Workers Union. Indeed, we did meet with Aubrey. He says that we did not consult. We are saying that we did consult. We also conceded to the unions that we could have consulted more extensively. So this is different from saying that there was no consultation indeed. He also talks about us now pursuing a commercial mandate. I think that's not correct. In actual fact, when you look at what our mandate is in terms of the Broadcasting Act, the charter, we have a hybrid model, which is public commercial and also public broadcast. We take our public broadcast mandate very seriously, as most people in South Africa receive their news and information from this platform in the most. So in essence, we did consult. We are not simply pursuing a commercial model. And more importantly, we are trying to bring and develop an SABC that is both financially sustainable and rewarding to the people inside the business as we transform. When we talk about Metro FM and the allegations of
bribing to get your music played,
I'm not aware of this. What I do understand is that music is put together by a compiler in order to ensure that there is less interference, or rather a repetition of certain music on our platform. But what we will do, given the fact that this has been put forward, is we'll go out there and try and establish what the actual facts are around this. In relation to the sports rights, and this is now talking about the PSL, this is always a difficult point. The SABC does not have the rights to the PSL. And the determination of which matches will be played on our platform is actually decided by the rights holder of these rights. And ultimately, we would have loved to have had some of these big games on our platform. But I think the rights holder themselves determine effectively who holds those rights. About production companies and, you know, some companies being preferred or having multiple platforms, well, ultimately, what does happen, unfortunately, is that the media space, in many ways, in terms of production capacity to bring the kind of content that we want, doesn't have, I think, a fair share of capabilities, which unfortunately may result in certain production companies taking the lion's share of production. But what we can say is we do develop platforms where we try and bring opportunities to sort of smaller players in the industry to try and get their foot into the door. And remember, in terms of our the way in which we go out and invite people to basically come on to our platforms and pitch is we attempt and we are trying to make this process more transparent, more open, more accountable, so we can actually have a larger spread of production companies producing our content.
Eusebius Makaiser on 702 and Cape Talk.
Chris, I want to move on and talk a little bit about the newsroom. You said at the beginning that the SABC in the last couple of years haven't always been the public-spirited organization that it ought to be, including all sorts of nefarious relationships at times with certain factions within the body politic. And of course, the heartbeat of that from a journalistic point of view is what happens with political coverage in particular and what happens in the newsroom. What is the plan to turn that around?
Well, generally what we have been doing, and this is a process that also predates me, but was initiated by the interim board when they were still in place, and has been continued by the current board, is to review our editorial policy. So what does that effectively mean? It means that if we are to develop the kind of news content that is reflective of broader society and not small pockets of society, or in the interest of certain political parties, what we need to do is address the editorial policy on how we decide and who decides what gets onto platform. What we also try and do is to try and create a natural gap or difference between those who determine what makes the news, but more importantly, how that process is understood. The editorial policy, which as recently as yesterday we were discussing with the board subcommittee on news, effectively is thinking about introducing an internal check and balance system in the form of an ombudsman who ultimately would act as an independent and unbiased participant in determining that in actual fact the news that we do cover is free of that bias, is free of some of the political, let's call it political deference, which might have characterized the past. But certainly this is an iterative process. We hope to conclude on this process of reviewing the editorial policy by the end of this year. So it's something that we take very seriously. We're also reviewing what the status of the group executive responsible for news and current affairs is, because we believe that is where ultimately the main calls about not just newsroom management, but ultimately editorial policy should be taken.
Okay, so that's conceptually and strategically obviously where you want to go, right? But now if we cascade that down and speak practically nuts and bolts, or we speak about the people who are still there. I think, for example, back to some of the parliamentary testimony of the SABC 8, I think back to some of the affidavits that had been deposed by some of these folks like Vium Vorko when they were trying to get justice for having been cliffed for doing their jobs from the SABC over the last year, 2 years.
Yes.
And people like Sophie Mokoena, for example, being cited as basically doing the work for Shlaudi Motsoeneng. I think, for example, of the presidential beat, which used to be quite prestigious at the SABC, whereas now it's often just really a megaphone for the president to be able to give a soliloquy rather than being engaged critically. Mm. And some of those people, including the ones that I've cited in the positions that I've mentioned, they still remain there. Mm. So how do you square strategic intent with the continuity of people, not all of whom have been prepared to show mettle as political journalist?
So for us, it's a reform and a transformation, not just of individuals, but of the processes and the systems that determine how we bring the news to the people of South Africa. Those processes and systems, Eusebius, were in place, were undermined in the previous administration to ensure that certain individuals, certain perspectives and narratives dominated. Effectively, what we're doing, particularly through the appointment of new management of the newsroom, is to ensure that those processes of system and systems cannot be circumvented in the future in a manner so as to, let's call it, boost the reputation and discourses of certain parts of our society. So in essence, what I'm saying to you, Eusebius, is that what we face is a structurally deficient system editorially.
Yeah.
What we are doing is not addressing the symptoms of that structural deficiency. What we must do is act to right those systemic challenges within the newsroom. And that is what we are fundamentally
going to do. Before we take our next break, I believe you. I like you. But I wonder whether you are more hamstrung than you are able to concede. So, for example, your strategic vision right at the beginning of the show and now in the last 2 minutes, specifically about political journalism and the editorial policy, it's music to my ears as a ferociously analytic broadcaster. But then I think to myself, but I also have a recent example of opening up the Sunday World, the Sunday newspapers, and there a history of employment involving someone like the economics editor, Thandeka Qubule, suddenly finds herself in the public space. And then I think to myself, even if I can be on the same page as Chris with leveraging my past knowledge of him and a little bit of acquaintance I have with him, you are such a complicated organization in terms of your organogram. There seems to be plenty of people in that organization still that probably are not necessarily a force for good.
That might be the case, and I will be the first to concede that there may be individuals who are not necessarily acting in the interest of the public as the spirit that we would like to bring into the SABC would suggest. However, having said that, Eusebius, is that it is more useful, in my view, to address this from a systemic sort of perspective, which I have indicated to you, which is that in order to safeguard the organization from, let's say, future autocratic tendencies that may arise, even in the form of Chris Marileng, who you claim to have some affinity with, we need to make sure that the checks and balances and the systems are in place to ensure that such abuses of the authority that is given to certain people that arise from their position are limited. So that's what we are doing, and that's what we're going to focus on. With results, with reference to certain individuals who you talk about, yes, that talks about their history. These are allegations that are now in the public space. They do not directly have an impact on the SABC in the sense, so to say, that this individual is accused to have engaged in nefarious activities at the SABC as a result of their association with Stratcom. What I can say about that, Eusebius, is that unless the SABC is focused on ensuring that the aspects that form our charter are focused on and adhere to, that the processes and the systems are in place that ensure that adherence. You can appoint as many so-called good guys to the SABC as you like. This will be a fool's errand unless we put right those systemic issues that need to be addressed.
We've got 10 minutes left. I still got some hard-hitting questions for Chris. He doesn't mind. He understands my role. I want to know practically how he's going to turn around some of the worst of the Schlaudi rot. For example, archives, incredibly important stuff. In his previous life as an academic and researcher, he knows the importance of that from the point of view of memory. Archives that have been sold, the relationship with the communications minister, these politicians must be kept at a distance. That hasn't always been the case. And the board hasn't always been party to court cases fighting for his right as an executive to be wholly independent of the influences of a minister in charge of the SABC. Those questions coming up on the other side of this.
Eusebius McKaiser on your number one news and talk station.
Chris, things like the archives, that's incredibly important, not just from the point of view of the competitive advantage that comes with having an amazing archive, but also going back to something where I saw you nodding positively at the outset of the interview. The political animal in you will agree with me about the centrality of the SABC to a deliberative and participatory model of democracy, which is the one, obviously, that we signed up for in 1994 and enshrined in 1996. That said, how do we get these things back?
So I think there's been a lot of misunderstanding about what actually happened. You indicate that the archives were sold. That's actually factually incorrect. There was a license agreement, and in actual fact, that license agreement comes to an end. And it's very unfortunate because it's been damaging also to one of the organizations that has and was involved in engaging in a licensing agreement. No part of our archive was sold off. So it's important that we put that out there. But What does that effectively mean? It means we as the SABC definitely must become much better in the manner in which we secure and manage this national asset, which is our archive, not just for ourselves, but for posterity. What are we doing around that? We're ensuring that the mechanisms of controls around the archive are tightened. That will become even stronger as we go towards digitizing this archive, which is something that is in process right now. So the licensing agreement around the archive is coming up for negotiation, and I'm sure that we'll arrive at a resolution to this issue that has been placed in media in an incorrect light.
Final question. We've got 1 minute left. There's an ongoing conversation here about, in terms of the law, where final oversight inheres in terms of things like the appointment of the three most important executives of the SABC. Yeah. And in my opinion, a court case that was quite definitive, drawing on the Glenister judgment, was very clear that it is the board that should be hiring and firing someone like yourself. Mm. And the minister should stay far away, and that the Broadcasting Act should supersede the Companies Act, not normally, but particularly in relation to the SABC. A beautiful, beautiful judgment. Where do you stand on that? Because board members have been very shy, one or two on Karima Brown's show on this platform, to take to heart what is compelling legal logic. Mm. And it seems to me like they don't want to upset the incumbent communications minister, for whom the implication would be, stay away. You can not pick up the phone and speak to Chris.
I think that's an unfair assessment, Eusebius. In actual fact, the board has been very strong about their position. They may not have come onto this show and be publicly.
They did, but what is your view?
Hey, you know what, Eusebius, you make statements and claims around the board and their position on issues which are factually incorrect. I'm bringing you back to the facts. The board has been very clear about the fact that they have the authority and the right to appoint executives into executive positions.
Chris, you're helping yourself to facts here. No, if the board was clear, why were they shy to be amicus in a case of direct interest?
The facts remain the facts. And ultimately, Eusebius, there are other strategic implications which I'm not comfortable to talk about.
What do you mean
which,
by that?
Which may have weighed heavy on the board's decision, not necessarily to engage publicly on what their position is.
What is that?
Now, let me also put it to you this way. The minister is also correct in insisting that there must be consultation. And this is because this is the shareholder representative. And I think the judgment that you refer to is quite clear what that consultation is. And consultation was carried out. I think there's been a lot of mischief making that has gone out there, which tries to create a cleavage between ourselves as the SABC and our shareholder and shareholder representative. We are trying to normalize the relationship between the SABC and its shareholder representative. And we do also recognize the right of the shareholder representative to be consulted.
I need to go to news, but you're doing that vague thing again. Let me ask the question bluntly, and you can have the final say. Who should have the exclusive right to hire and fire you?
The board, Eusebius. I was very clear about that. And I also said to you that the board has also been very clear about that. And they've made it clear, maybe not on this show, that they have the right to hire and fire executives. So that is the position that was made quite clear.
Chris, thanks for coming in.